Josh mentioned he was not the normal music director. If there's any visitors here, I'm not the normal message giver either. He said he's not normally the music leader. I'm probably not even normal. I think the jury's still out on that. But thank you all for being here this morning. Psalms 103. You can go there if you choose. That's not going to be our main text. But the first, starting with the first verse, it says, "Bless the Lord, O my soul, and all that is within me, praise his holy name." And then it says, "Let us not forget all his benefits." And it goes on to list there in Psalms 103 some of the benefits that we have in Christ. But our main text today is going to be in Romans chapter 5, which also has a list of our benefits. In 1997, shortly after we joined this church, Billy Graham had the crusade here in San Antonio. And I was privileged to be a member of the counseling team during that crusade. But also I was involved in the follow-up for those that had come forward. The way that worked is I received the names and contact information for about 18 individuals from the Atkins, St. Hedwig, China Grove area, with the plan of getting them connected to a church, inviting them to either a home Bible study or to a church Bible study, whichever they chose. Now, as I said, I had the names of 18 men, and I contacted each one of them. Out of those 18, I had two gentlemen, twin brothers from over in the Cairo area that I discipled here on Sunday morning during Sunday school. The other 16 people chose not to be involved in any type of Bible study or plan to get connected to a church. And unfortunately, that's what happens a lot of times. People come, they make a profession of faith, they get saved, and the mindset is that they've had their ticket punched. They're on the way to heaven, they got their boarding pass, and life goes on. But as I had mentioned before, God didn't save us just to take us to heaven. If that was the case, as soon as that happened, if you got saved on a Sunday morning, he'd take you home before you got to Chili Verde or Luby's or wherever it is you go after church. Again, as I said before, we're saved to serve. And listed here in Romans chapter 5 are some benefits that we need to take advantage of in order to serve him the way he intends us to serve. Okay, so these benefits are for the here and now. They're not for the future. Entirely. There's some future benefits, of course, but we're talking initially about the benefits that we have right now in order to serve him the way he intends for us to serve. So starting in verse 1, it says, "Therefore, being justified by faith." We've got to stop there just a minute and make it clear that this passage is written to believers, those who have been justified. And what does that mean? Simply put, just as if I'd never sinned before. Just as if I'd never sinned. Later in Psalms 103, down around verse 12, it tells us that he has removed our sins as far as the east is from the west. That's a long ways. But I was in thinking about that, you know, God put those words in there for a purpose, from east to west. And words mean something. Why didn't he say north to south? Because if you travel north far enough, you hit a point where you're going to go south. We have the North Pole and the South Pole. But as far as the east is from the west, once we start to think about that, and as I look through this, I've seen some translations of the scripture that said, as far as the east horizon from the west horizon. That's wrong. That's not what he meant. You think about it. If we leave Atkins and we start going west, we'll be going west, and when we get back to Atkins, yeah. Continuous. You could go around the world 100 times, and you still always be going that same direction. Whether you decided to go west, or if you decided to go east, you'd always be going that direction. Right. And that's what God wants us to know, is that that's how far he has removed our sins. It's never ending. They're gone. He tells us that he has forgiven us and we will remember them no more. If it was from north to south, by the time we got to the North Pole, he'd have an opportunity to remember them again. If you see what I mean. There's, as far as east is to west on the horizon, that's a measurable distance. Our sins are forgiven. We're justified, just as if I'd never sinned. He's removed our sin as far as forever. That's the point that's trying to be made here, is that our sins are forever forgotten. So, therefore, being justified by faith, we have peace with God. And that's our first benefit that we have. Peace with God. When we come into the family of God, we inherit that peace. Now, some will say, well, we're all God's children. And I have to say, I'm sorry, but that's not true. We're all God's creation. We're not children of God until we've been justified, until we've been forgiven, until we come into the family of God. In Matthew or Mark chapter 3, Jesus is speaking to a group in a house, and someone comes and tells him, your mother and your brothers are looking for you. And Jesus looked and said, who are my brother and my mother and my sisters? And then he went on to specify, those that do the will of God are my brother, my mother, and my sister. Those that do the will of God. Well, what's God's will? 1 Peter 5:9 says that he's not willing that any should perish, but that all should come in to repentance. In other words, it's God's will that all men be saved, all people be saved. So in order to be rightly related to Jesus, we have to do God's will, which is be saved. So once we do that, then we're in God's family. We inherit, we come into that peace of God, or peace with God. Some would say, well, I'm not enemies with God. Only a fool would be enemies with God. And guess what? I agree. Only a fool. But Jesus said, you're either for me or against me. And so we're either, there's only two groups, God's family or out of God's family. So that first benefit, peace with God. Now there's another peace the Bible mentions in Philippians chapter 4, and that's the peace of God. That's a different. Automatically, we have peace with God once we are saved, once we are justified, once we are blood-bought and born again. The peace of God is something that we can acquire or not. It's dependent. There's conditions in which we have the peace of God. Philippians 4 says, for not to be anxious for anything, not to worry about anything, But for everything, with prayer and thanksgiving, let your requests be known to God. Amen. And then that peace of God, that peace of God that passes all understanding, will guard your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus. I mentioned that as we go through this list of benefits, every one of them are going to stipulate that very fact. Through Christ Jesus, by his blood, every one of these benefits are dependent on Jesus Christ and him alone. In verse 2, we read, by whom we also have access into the grace in which we stand. So the second benefit is access. What would that access be? Prayer. We can go to God anytime, anywhere, any place, 24/7, and he's there. That was not always so. If you remember in the Old Testament economy, the priest, the high priest, would go into the Holy of Holies once a year to make atonement for the sins of the people, and himself, by the way. But the scripture tells us in Ephesians, once Jesus was crucified and buried, that that curtain that separates us from the Holy of Holies, separates us from the Shekinah glory that stands between us at that time and God, had been rent from top to bottom. Amen. Through Jesus Christ. Because of his death, burial, and resurrection, we now have that direct access. We can go to him anytime, any place, anywhere. I tell the truck drivers, just don't do it while you're driving. Keep your eyes on the road. But we have that access, and that's, again, we can go to God in prayer. My voicemail, both at the house and my cell phone, I have the regular, typical voicemail. I'm sorry, I can't answer your call right now, but if you leave, et cetera, et cetera. But I end it with, but remember, when you call on God, he's always available. Can you imagine that? No voicemail, no call forwarding, no press 1 for financial help, press 2 for if you have medical condition, press 3 if you're having trouble with your neighbor. No, you can go directly to God. No busy signal. And ain't that amazing? He can listen to all of us at the same time. You know, I have a wife and had 3 daughters at one time, all at the house at the same time. And, you know, they start all talking at the same time. Wes knows. He knows. And I'd have to say, stop, wait a minute, one at a time. But God's not like that. He can hear all of our prayers all at the same time. The God that says, call on me, and I will answer. You know, we have 911 for our emergencies in the secular world. In God's economy, we have 333. Yeah. Jeremiah 3:33. Or 33:3. But the fact is, he will answer. He's promised us, call on me and I will answer and teach you great and mighty things that you do not know. Hebrews 4:16 says that we can come boldly before the throne and receive help, mercy, grace in the times of trouble. So the second benefit that we have is access. We have prayer. We can go to prayer, go to God in prayer anytime. And then it says, and we can rejoice in the what? We've heard it all morning, if you went to Sunday school. The hope of the glory of God. We have hope. Now that's a word that we need to define, and perhaps in many of your Sunday school classes this morning you did define that, but there's a difference between the hope that the world has and the hope that we have as Christians. The world hope is an expectation based on want and desire. I hope I get an A on my math exam. I hope the Spurs win another championship. For you Cowboy fans, I hope they get another quarterback. But it's a personal desire, a personal want that may or may not come true, may or not be fulfilled. Whereas Christian hope, the hope that we have, the hope that it's talking about here of the glory of God, is the hope and the promises made in this book, this holy word of God, this God-breathed and God-inspired book in which we place our hope. And there's a whole list of promises and a whole list of things, but I just want to name a few of them. You might want to jot them down. I don't know if you remember them, if your memory's good. How about John 3:16? For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever would believe in him would have everlasting life. That's a promise. And that's a promise with hope. How about Romans 10:9? If you believe in your heart and confess with your mouth that Jesus Christ was raised from the dead, thou shalt be saved. Not maybe, not might be, but shall be. That's a promise right there. June, how about Jeremiah 29:11? Is that a promise?
Amen.
God says, I know that the plans I have for you, plans not to, plans to prosper, not to harm you, but plans with a future and a hope. That's where our hope is based on, those promises that we get out of God's word. How about John 14, starting with the first verse? This is my favorite one because it puts it all in a nutshell. Jesus speaking says, fear not. You believe in God, believe also in me. In my Father's house, there are many mansions. If it were not so, I would have told you so. I go now to prepare a place for you. And if I go, I will come again. That's a promise. I'll come again. He's coming again. So that where I am, you may be also. That's a promise that we can, and it's all right there in those verses. Of course, Thomas said, Lord, we don't know where you're going, and we don't know how to get there. And Jesus said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No one comes unto the Father except by me. That rules out any other avenues, any other roads right there. Titus 2:13, looking for that blessed hope and appearing of our great God and Savior, Jesus Christ. Whew, as they say on the infomercials. And there's more. He's coming again. And that's a promise from the Scripture. And that's where our hope is. Not on the Cowboys or the Spurs or any such thing, but on thus saith the Lord. Now, so far we've talked about the peace with God. We've talked about access to God. We've spoken of the hope that we have in Christ. The next one don't sound like much of a benefit, I hate to say. But in verse 4 it says, and not only that, but we also glory in tribulation. That doesn't sound like a good thing, does it? Until we look at it a little more thoroughly. And I guess the Health, Wealth, and Prosperity Group have not read this. But it says, and not only that, but we also glory in tribulation, knowing that tribulation produces perseverance or patience. How many of us need that? I'm married to one. Thank you. And perseverance, character, and character back to hope. God's building us. When trouble comes, when we have tribulation, we learn to persevere. We learn to be patient. We learn to wait on God. And that builds character. And that's what he's trying to do when we have problems, when we have troubles. Let's build character in us. God never promised us, as they say, a rose garden. He never promised us that it was going to be easy. In fact, the opposite. Jesus said, in this world you will have tribulation, you will have trouble, but take heart, for I have overcome the world. So we can glory in tribulation. And what does that do? When we have trouble, problems come, and we do the right thing and turn to God and ask for help. And he helps us. Not always the way we want, but according to his will. So what happens the next time trouble comes? If we've learned our lesson, we'll turn immediately to the Father. And he helps us. And what does that do? That builds our faith. Each time, it builds our faith. We get more and more faith. And those around us see that faith. When they see how we react and how we face problems in our life. I look at my sweet brother and sister, Jim and Janie, and just wonder. But I know how they're getting through it. Yeah. That hope. Because they had troubles before, and they went to God, and he helped them. And they're facing probably the toughest time in their life, but they're relying on him. And guess what? They're the first ones to say, he's faithful. What a lesson to the rest of us. What a lesson. To see that faith in action. Yes, it hurts. But to also give God the glory. And you talk about tribulation. How about the Apostle Paul? He wrote, was it 2/3 of the New Testament? 3/4, whatever. A good bit of it. He had it made. The Pharisee of Pharisees. He had position, he had wealth, he had power until he met Jesus Christ on the Damascus Road. And then his trouble began big time. Shipwrecked, beaten, jailed numerous times. Not just once on each account, but numerous times. His trouble began when he met Jesus. So we're not promised. We're not promised an easy road. He didn't promise that it would be easy. He promised that he'd go with us. I will never leave you nor forsake you. That's another promise that we can hang on to. Then it says, now hope does not disappoint us because the love of God, which if you count, I think is 5. The love of God, that's a benefit that we get. Not our love for him, but his love for us. It's a benefit of becoming a blood-bought, born-again child of God, is that he loves us, and he cares for us. And it goes on to say, the love of God has been poured out into our hearts by, the next benefit, the Holy Spirit. And that's a big one. It's the Holy Spirit, first of all, that convicts us of our sin. It's the Holy Spirit. The Bible says that no man comes to the Father except that they're drawn. And that is because of the Holy Spirit. That's a function of the Holy Spirit. It's to draw us, 1, to convict us. And then, after we've become Christians, we have that gift. Friends, the Holy Spirit comes to live within us. That's a gift that we get. That's a benefit that we get not for the future, but for here and now. And it's by that Holy Spirit that we're able to live the Christian life. We talked about it a little bit in Sunday school about memorizing Scripture. It's the Holy Spirit, number one, that illuminates the Scripture so that we understand it in the first place. You know, if you're not a blood-bought, born-again Christian, you read the Scripture and it doesn't mean anything. I can remember the exact Scripture that says that it's confounding to fools, but only those that are Christians understand it. It's because of the Holy Spirit that helps us to understand it. In memorizing Scripture, you know, some would say, and it was mentioned, I can't memorize. You can. Through the help of the Holy Spirit, He'll help you remember it if you're dedicated enough to put it in. The other part of that is, the beautiful part is, that once you've memorized it, it's the Holy Spirit that will help you recall it, that you will recollect that Scripture at the most opportune time. Either for yourself in your life, when trouble comes, those Scriptures will come and you can hold on to those promises. He'll also help you recall them when you need to help somebody else, to minister to others. Those Scriptures will come. And I've had it happen so many times, especially visiting patients in the hospital over at Wilford Hall. I go in and start talking to somebody, and, you know, just whatever the situation, the Scriptures would flow. And I remember walking out of a room and saying, where did that come from? Well, I heard it, I memorized it, and He recalled it to my memory right when I needed it. What a blessing. The Holy Spirit, the other gift, the other benefit. Romans 5:9 says, much more than having been justified by His blood, we shall be saved from wrath through Him. Remember what I said a few minutes ago about all of these benefits being attributed to through Him, by Him, through His blood. And this is another one. We'll be saved from the wrath through Him. Now, a few weeks ago on Wednesday night, Brother Brett mentioned the day of the Lord and wrath in Obadiah, I think, that we were looking at. But that wrath, that day of the Lord, is explained in Zephaniah chapter 1, verses 14 and 15. And I'll read that to you, starting verse 14. Near is the great day of the Lord, a day of wrath, that is that day, a day of trouble and distress, a day of destruction and desolation, a day of darkness and gloom, a day of clouds and thick darkness. And this is what Jesus called the great tribulation. It'll be a bad time. But Paul tells us, as a believer, we're not going to experience that. We'll be saved from that wrath. And I know there's a lot of different opinions of to when that's going to happen. Some think that the rapture, according to this, we're raptured, we're out of here. The Christian is saved from that, and then it's going to happen. There's other opinions, but Paul says we won't experience it. And for that I say hallelujah.
Hallelujah.
Yeah. And then, finally, in Romans 5:11, it says that not only that, but we rejoice in God through our Lord Jesus Christ. The last benefit here, I think by this time should be number 8, is joy. We can have joy. We can rejoice. Paul says, rejoice in the Lord. Again, I say, rejoice. Now again, there's a difference between what the world thinks of joy and what Christian joy is all about. The world, when they think of joy, they think of happiness. They think of good times. I got a good job, I've got good health, family's all okay, I can be happy, I can have joy, I can rejoice. But what happens when the health is gone and the job is gone and things are going south? As Christians, we can and should still have joy in our heart. Because Christian joy is, again, relying on the Word of God. And it's that tranquility of mind that we can have. And it says that everything has fallen apart on the outside, that no matter what's going on around us, that God's still in charge, He's still in control, He still cares, and everything's going to turn out all right. You know, we've been doing a lot of fretting and worrying about the State of the Union and the election and all that sort of thing. But you know, it's all going to be okay. God's in charge. And as long as we're trusting in Him, we're going to be okay. We're going to have trouble. We're going to have problems. But we still have that promise. Hey, this isn't all there is. I mean, I remember a song a number of years ago, sang, I think Peggy Lee, or one of those, had a song that she starts out as a little girl with wanting a doll or whatever it is. And each, it goes through her life. At each stage, she gets what she wants. And then is the line of the song, is that all there is? And you know, that's what it's like for somebody that's not a Christian. This is all there is. And it's filled with disappointment. But praise God, there is a future and there's a hope. Amen. And it's in Jesus Christ. Amen. Can I kind of tie all this together? We listed 8 different benefits. But can I go back to the Holy Spirit? When we're saved, we get the Holy Spirit. We get all of Him that we're going to get. You know, we get some now and some next week and some 3 months down the line. We get all of Him when we get saved. It's not partialed out or it doesn't come at a separate time. We get the Holy Spirit. And it's not a matter of how much, it's how much we let Him control. You know, the scripture says, be filled with the Holy Spirit. Be filled with the Spirit. Be not drunk with wine. In Ephesians 5. If we're filled with wine, we're under the control, under the police department calls it, under the influence. And it's a good, some places call driving while intoxicated, others driving while under the influence. I like the influence one better, because if we're driving under the influence of the Holy Spirit, these gifts, these benefits will come to us. It's a matter of letting the Holy Spirit control our life. It's not being filled up to here. It's the control. If we're filled with fear, what controls us? Fear. We're filled with anger. What controls us? Anger. If we take the steps necessary each day to, in the scripture it says be filled, in its original language it was keep being filled, keep on being filled. It's a continuous process, it's not a one-time affair. So if we're continually being under the control of the Holy Spirit, these things that we talked about will come naturally. We talk about the fruit of the Spirit. Not fruits. It's one. We don't get to pick. And how many of those were in this list? Love, peace, hope, patience. Those are all fruits of this fruit of the Spirit. I slip myself. Fruits, it's not. It's one thing. We get the Holy Spirit, we get the fruit of the Spirit, and we have access to all of those attributes. Love, joy, peace, patience, and so forth. So, that's it. A benefit to us that know Jesus Christ as our Lord and Savior, and I have to emphasize that each one of these benefits come by Him, through Him, or because of his blood. Benefits that we can have. Question is this morning, are you in or are you out? In the family of God or out? I read somewhere it said, hope in Christ is an endless hope. Our life with Christ is endless hope. Life without Christ is a hopeless end. So we all, of course, everybody here falls in one category or the other. We either have that hope in our future or we have a hopeless future. And this morning, I'd like to give the opportunity, as Brother Brett says, this altar is always open. This is be a time of invitation. If you're here today and you haven't made that decision, haven't made that choice, today would be a good day to do it. And remember, it's the Holy Spirit that knocks on the door of your heart and says, come. I stand at the door and knock. And all we have to do is answer and let him come in. So as we sing, if you're here today and you don't know that free gift, the gift that says that we can't earn it, it's a gift given to us. The grace of God is the gift, not of works, lest any man should boast. Christian, the altar's open for you as well. As we stand, as we sing.